Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a wonderful Thursday evening in Lexington, Kentucky. And this is one of your co-hosts for the evening, Stephen Zimmer, checking in with you live. Thanks to Far Cry, of course, the great Pete Fry, their lead guitarist, for that wonderful intro music as we begin episode number 355. And tonight, I am very pleased after a few weeks when you have not heard her lovely voice. And tonight we welcome back to the co-hosting chair, the one, the only, Holly Phillippe. Holly.
I am here and I'm still
you
kicking.
Are. I hesitated. I was like, oh, please, let her be on because we've missed you.
Yeah,
everyone's
not
missed
been fun.
You.
I've definitely not been on vacation, that's for sure. I had a terrible bout with this lovely thing called colitis. Lord have mercy. I don't wish that on nobody. I'm telling you, it's been a night in the hospital, the whole spiel. It's been great. I was wanting to go live on TikTok tonight. We'll get into that earlier. But, we're going to have some good discussions tonight.
Yes, we are, and I'm looking very much forward to it. Tonight is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, and we'll be doing about an hour-long episode tonight. We'd like to do a few more of these kinds of episodes because, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happens that's really important for the creative community, writers or filmmakers and everyone else out there creating content, and it's important, I think, to have some discussions about them. And, just as much as it is a great thing to have a guest as well. So we're going to have to mix in a few more of these from time to time. Of course, tonight we're doing it on a Thursday just because making sure that Holly is ready to go. So you've not heard from her in a few weeks. So, yeah, we're making sure that you get to say hi to Holly. And of course, the chat room is open as always. The first couple in looks like Metal Beck Harrison and the wonderful, awesome Clayton Barnett, who just has definitely tearing it up. Very Clayton is in there, so can confirm.
Yeah.
And I know he was definitely wanting to hear from you on the health side of things because he's been great. He's been checking in to see how you're doing. You already know that, of course, definitely wanted to hear you, I know, tonight and know that you're on the upswing. I know the weekend you turned the corner a bit on the weekend and really started to make some strides, and you've been well behaved, which is not the easiest thing for you, but you've been disciplined and not do anything crazy. So you've been working to get better, and so here you are. Clayton's been celebrating. I think he's drinking to celebrate your return. So fantastic!
Yes, I think so. And we had a great. We will talk about my birthday was last week. Of course, I missed because I was sick. But my birthday and our anniversary was last week. So me and Steve didn't get to really celebrate, you know. So we went to a Bush concert last night, and he was hoping and praying that he could take me and that I'd be, you know, well enough to go. And thank God it was just in time, you know, and we was able to make it. Tell you what, they rocked the house in Louisville last night. They were at the Palace Theater, with this new band called Devorah. Look them up.
Devorah.
People, look them up.
Yeah.
Devorah. Yeah, they were amazing. The chick, the lead singer, she's young, and my God, did she got a set of pipes on her. And, yeah, it was just amazing. And, of course, Gavin and Corey and Chris, you know, Bush, they did a fantastic job. And Gavin actually ran right beside Stephen, so I could have reached out and touched him. That was amazing. And but I've been a fan of theirs, you know, for 30-plus years. I mean, ever since they came out. And I just adore them. And second time I got to see them. And, yeah, it was really exciting.
And Devorah is an interesting opening act, definitely. She bills herself as the goth Dolly Parton. And it has this kind of eclectic mix of, like, rock and Western country. And it's a fusion, but it's a really catchy sound. And I thought they were really, really good. You know, Bush, I mean, they are top tier live. I'd say that concert. Well, I mean, you can't get much better of a venue than the Palace Theater. It's like walking, like a friend of ours said, it's like walking into an Italian museum. Google it. See the interior. You will agree. It is spectacular.
Clay says she could call herself Golly Parton.
Bush puts on.
But,
they bring it. I mean, it's a band.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no weak link in the band. They're all performers.
They're all just
great players. And then Gavin is just a presence. I mean, he's a strong front man. And yeah, definitely
I actually do Chris, the lead guitarist. I've had a few banners with him on Twitter. He's awesome. He will respond to tweets, and yeah, he's just amazing. I love Chris. And he did a hell of a job last night. We got some really cool pictures. I'm going to have to get up and on the social medias. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, the Palace in Louisville, Clay. Louisville Palace. And then guess where we stayed, people?
Yeah.
We stayed at the Holiday Inn.
The Holiday Inn Louisville East.
Imaginarium.
Yep. I took care of Holly because I want to make sure she saw this concert. So we had a hotel room in Louisville. And even though it's not far from us, we wanted to go in so Holly could rest. And then after the concert, she'd only have like 5 miles to go. So we took care of Holly. It was great. We got to see Jackie, the bartender that everybody loves at Imaginarium. She was there. And of course, the staff there was just they all remembered us, and it was fun to stay at the hotel as a guest, just on a non-Imaginarium mission. So it was fun.
The front desk guy, he's like, "You guys are Imaginarium, right?" We're like, "Yeah, that's us."
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, I just can't wait for this year." He says, "I look forward to it every year." He said, "I love going around talking to all your guests and your vendors and, the guy that works the front desk there." So, yeah, he was all excited, and he's talking my leg off when we were checking in. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then, of course, Jackie she's like, "Oh, Wendy, oh, my God."
But we heard from the folks. I mean, they were like, "We can't believe how many hotel rooms have been reserved this early." So, in other words, folks, make sure if you need a hotel room, get it, because the hotel's filling up quick. And we're way ahead of where we were last year on the hotel reservations. So that's a good sign. At least some good momentum heading that way. And definitely. And yeah, it went very smooth and was wonderful. And, yes, Clayton mentioned he saw Alice Cooper at the Palace Theater. And Clayton, you could actually go see him again. We saw a poster that Alice Cooper is going to be there on May the 10th at the Palace Theater. So, yeah, Alice Cooper is touring again, and May 10th he'll be back at the Palace. So if you want to go for an encore, Clayton, go, definitely, because that is amazing. So. Oh man, yeah, that's nothing like the Palace Theater. That is a great place. But we better go ahead and recognize the folks that brought you tonight's show, and That would be Sandy Linder, the Genre Blender, and, of course, the wonderful folks at Per Bostet. So first we'll give you a little Sandy spot, and then we'll tell you a little bit about Per Bostet. Here's Sandy.
Author Sandy Linder invites you to visit her website at authorsandylinder.com to pick out a new favorite story to read this spring. You're sure to find a strong young lady, a clever vampire, a self-assured fairy, or a fabulous dragon to join on a new journey. Start your next adventure at authorsandylinder.com and make some new quest friends. Welcome to Sandy's various fantasy worlds, where some days you just want the dragon to win.
Thank you, Sandy. Yeah, I really appreciate your support. You're the best. And I know Sandy's looking forward to a Duran Duran concert on her birthday, so down in Florida. So,
yeah
concerts everywhere. But now we'll shift over and give you a little bit about Per Bostet. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events such as the Imaginarium Convention in July. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you very much to T. Lee, Sarah, Marion, and, of course, Marion Allen. They're great. Go buy their books and tell them thank you for supporting the show. So, yes, Holly, we're going to go ahead and dive into the first topic of tonight. And social media platforms offer different strengths and different things, and it can spread an author or a filmmaker or a gaming person or any type of creative. It can spread you way too thin real quick to try to take on everything or try to master a bunch of different platforms. And but at the same time, it is good to be active on more than one platform so you don't have your eggs all in one basket. Because certainly, you know, we've seen stuff where content creators have, you know, had their YouTube channels suddenly pulled for some, you know, stupid reason. And, you know, they, you know, definitely you don't want to be caught, you know, in that kind of situation. So it's good not to have all your eggs in one basket. But with the using multiple platforms, I mean, there's strengths and there's advantages to using them and things that, you know, that you can that are unique to each platform. And so tonight's discussion, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about expanding platforms and do that in light of something that I'm not active on, but Holly is active on. And she has made some great strides recently and gotten enough of a following that she can go live now. And there are some definite new horizons that she could take advantage of for awareness of Imaginarium, for awareness of writers, for the Star Chamber show. She's got some great ideas with that, because her channel is focusing on creatives. And I congratulate Holly because she broke the 1,000 follower mark and has live broadcasting, live streaming capability now, and that would be on TikTok, which is a platform that I'm not, I don't know myself much about it. I'm not active on it, but Holly is. And so, Holly, yeah, tell us about expanding on TikTok and what you plan to do with it and why you're using TikTok for you know, these new horizons.
We're going to talk about The Grift, which, oh, by the way, we're missing our Thursday podcast, which we'll have to catch after the show.
Yes.
Hoteps.
Yeah, the Hotep Nation. Yeah, those guys are great.
Those guys are hilarious. I love them. Cheers to the Hoteps. It's all about the grift, right? And what does our society focus on? Well, you know, how you get people's attention is usually petty things, right? But if you can grab their attention and you got them, then you can share with them, okay? So this week I busted my butt. I did some tricks, and I was able to, like, double my following. I had a following on the Good Chinese Spy social media, TikTok. But there's a growing, huge growing platform for hashtag book talk on there for readers wanting to see authors in their, like, real world and natural space, and that's what they're eating up, right? And what is it geared toward? Well, everybody likes beauty. Everybody likes, you know, things like that. That's what draws them in. So I made all these funny little videos, little trendy stuff and stuff like that just to get some viewers. But then I did some tricks this week, and I've actually went over that 1,000 mark. So now I'm going to do a little switch up, and I'm going to gear it toward creative stuff. Like Steven said, like I want to start doing the Star Chamber live on there. I know Clay thinks it's very terrible because it's TikTok. But let me tell you, they're watching you on other platforms, not just that. If you're on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, you know, Twitter, you're being watched. That's how they gear advertising to you. I know the Chinese use it to kind of get us off track, and because their residents are blocked from seeing what our TikTok shows here. But
yeah,
they're okay.
Different.
You know,
they
what
actually, they, I don't know. Hey, no, on that point, Holly, on that point, though, a lot of people, I mean, we're not going to get into, you know, a lot of the weeds on this part of it. We're going to talk about what you're doing, the
right.
Creative outreach.
Right.
It is true. They do not have the same algorithm set up in their TikTok version of TikTok that they have in ours. Ours is, you know, driven to an entirely different categories and types of subjects and topics, whereas theirs is actually driven more toward, you know, things like the sciences or education and things like that. Very, you know, a very edifying type topics, where ours is directed more toward fluff and, you know, useless stuff. That make of that what you will, but yeah, but it is true that their version has a whole different algorithm in terms of what it shows to their populace than ours, and that's an interesting thing to think about. And that's a whole other episode, but yeah, but let's get back into the creative stuff. Yeah.
Well, and I do want to say, in every social media, no matter what platform it is, doesn't matter. There's good and bad, right? People are always gonna take something good and make it bad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be good and bad, because without light, you can't have dark. Without dark, you can't have light. That it's yin and yang. That's just the way the universe works and always will. We are not going to change that. But we can take care of our side of it. And I want to gear it toward creatives. And we are a tribe, and we work as a village, and we lift each other up. So I'm going to start promoting, you know, some books. Especially like Stevens, pulling Stevens in. I might start doing some readings. And then I want to do the Star Chamber show. I'm going to figure out the best way to get, you know, really good sound, how I can get the video. I want to do live, while we're live on the air, like we are now, that we are also in conjunction going to be live on the air. I am on my TikTok stream. So I can also take questions and comments from the viewers there and reach a whole other demographic of people and, you know, and help them. I mean, we can help authors on there that are struggling with, you know, certain things, or they have questions, or, you know, they want to get into it. They're new, or they've been in it a while, want to know how to increase their sales. And, you know, we have marketing experts on, or, you know, things like that. So, it's just another branch out, and that's what I want to use it for, and maybe do some interviews. And, of course, I'm still going to put the quirky fun stuff and do some trend stuff because it's fun and I like it. But, yeah, you know, we'll talk about Imaginarium. I definitely will do a lot of videos at Imaginarium this year and throw them up there. So that'll be fun. And it'll be neat for people that can't attend or whatever. They can go and they can, you know, there's a way, you know what, I have so many ideas with it. There might even be a way, because Dave will be back, my maverick, and so he'll be back, and he could maybe go live and stream a panel or two or, you know, something like that. So question and answer with our main guest, you know, something like that. But, yeah, there's a whole other world out there and a whole other demographic of people that we can reach out and touch and actually bring them in, you know. And that's what it's about. It's about growing a community.
Yeah, well, what are, in your opinion, like with TikTok, because all the different platforms have their certain appeal, they have their own audiences. What were some kind of things that you saw on TikTok that make you interested in it? What do you see as far as the audience of TikTok that you think you can reach? What are some of the factors that went into you deciding to focus on it as opposed to,
honestly,
you know, one of the other types of social media?
I go into lives a lot. Steve knows this. I'm going to give a shout out to Ward Deadpool guy. I love him. And all he does is flight track. He has a flight tracker, which I actually have on my phone now. We, you know, can look at all the flights, all the planes, no fly zones that pop up, different stuff. So you could keep an eye on stuff with all these, you know, blowing up UFOs and Chinese spy balloons and whatever they want to tell you they are. But
yeah,
it's just neat. It's just neat to see, you know. So I really grew a lot of my followers just being in his chat room. Because why? Because he says, hey, go follow my top, you know, 10 viewers. Go follow them and they'll follow you back. And, you know, and it's a like tribe. The thing with TikTok, it's so geared for your algorithm. It adjusts to what you like, what you're geared for. So it finds your people. So when you put out stuff like that, you know, mine will be reading books, literature, whatever, when we're doing stuff like this, or if we have a music night or whatever, that's what you put out. That's who will end up showing up because that's who it feeds it to. It feeds it to people that want to see that content. You know, it ain't just like you're putting it on Facebook and it goes to all your friends. Only your friends see it or whatever. You know, no, TikTok, it'll go on people's feed that have never heard of you. They don't know who the hell you are or anything about you. But, hey, they like fantasy, per se. Okay, I'm just throwing out a genre. They like fantasy. And we happen to be talking about fantasy and, you know, sci-fi books one night. Oh, my God, it'll show up. And so they're going to, they're going to have questions. That's what I like. It's the interaction of like-minded people. You know, you're going to get creatives in there. You're going to get writers. You're going to get readers. You're going to get, you know, editors, publishers, and all these people that come in there. Clay's cracking up in the chat room. Yes, there are boobies too, but yeah, we're not doing boobies on my channel.
Yeah, we're not doing that type of channel, Clayton, to be clear. Yes,
no,
we're not doing that type of channel. But
you know, I follow people I follow people, for instance, you know, I told you about the flight tracker guy. I also follow a guy that plays the hand pan by sitting by running water, a creek. Steve, I showed you that too, where he'll sit in a creek and plays hand pan. And I love that instrument. It's soothing, calming. And he'll do live streams where he's sitting there and he'll take questions and stuff too. I listen to people play singing bowls. I'll listen to people talk about topics that are, you know, concerning, like this East Palestine crap going on where they have the train derailment and you get all kinds of different sides of the story, right? You don't believe in everything you hear, but when you got people that live there that are showing you and telling you how concerned they are, and there's, you know, you could put 2 + 2, right? So it's a way to do some research and stuff too. Which is cool. It just takes your interest and gears it toward that. And, of course, I follow a lot of authors and publishers and book talk people and reading rooms and reviewers. You can pick up reviewers, and they're like crazy just by taking, you know, time to make these videos and everything. Instagram used to be pretty good at these. I used to use a program that was pre-COVID, you know, where I made these little videos. These all, like, what were they, 15-second, 10-second ads?
They were shorter, yeah.
They were short, showing their books and stuff. But that no longer works. It just don't work on there. Insta Live, I mean, a lot of people are doing lives on there and doing more videos. But it's getting, it's getting geared more toward a lot of it's just fake, you know, it's fake stuff. I find more real, honestly, on TikTok than I do on Insta. And I know that's crazy to some people, but that's the truth now. Yeah, there's crazy stuff on all of it, but, I mean, I do. I just see more like people. And there's less trolls. I hate to tell you, but there is. And who people I follow. I mean, other people might follow some weird crap and go down rabbit holes and get trolls. But I don't. I rarely see a troll in the people's feeds that I follow. Any live, you know, people that go live that I follow, I rarely see a troll. If we do, we just ignore them and they leave the room, you know. They're not getting their attention because they're narcissists and they'll never give a troll attention. If you argue back with them, that's what they want.
Yeah, don't feed the trolls.
Know, them out. Don't even, don't interact with them. Just, you know, ignore them. And that eats them up more than anything because that's what they're wanting. Attention, negative or positive, it doesn't matter to them. So, yeah. What'd he say?
He says the only thing he sees on, I guess, Instagram is capybaras, those rodent, large rodents in South America, I guess. You can feed anacondas with capybaras though, Clayton. So if you have a pet anaconda, you can feed them with those. I guess that's a useful thing. I don't know. I think they all have their. Well, the funny thing is, a lot of channels right now, and I think that's one thing that makes it interesting for Holly with TikTok is a lot of other channels are trying to kind of copy TikTok. If you look at YouTube, if you look at Facebook, they're all trying to push short format videos. Instagram's trying to do it. They're all trying to
TikTok and putting it on Facebook.
The short format.
They're taking their TikTok videos, and putting it on Facebook stories. It's the same thing, people. If you look at a lot of those Facebook stories, you'll see the little logo TikTok because they've actually downloaded their TikTok and just uploaded it to Facebook. That's it. You're seeing the same dang thing. Yeah.
His daughter, Clayton's daughter, evidently loves capybaras. But if she does, Clayton with me, she's going to have a silver bullet, my friend. Yeah, evidently his daughter would shoot me for suggesting the capybara be eaten. Well, hate to tell you, Clayton, but don't tell her not to research what happens in the wild with anacondas and capybaras because it probably would disappoint her greatly. Just the facts, man. It's kind of like guinea pigs in the Inca Empire. I've been researching that, and guinea pigs didn't fare too well in the the way they were used in the Inca Empire. Hint, sacrifices, hint, food source. But, sweet little guinea pigs. Yes, they're rabbit holes everywhere. I digress a little bit. But short format.
Oh, go ahead.
But short format videos, everybody is trying to kind of copy TikTok right now with those. Why? What is it about the short format video? Yep.
Because we have no attention spans anymore. So much info is just thrown in front of us so fast. And it's all at our hands. It isn't like the day of us Gen Xers where we actually had to go and grab encyclopedias or go to the library to do research papers or, you know, to write reports and things like that. I mean, now everything's at your fingertips. Anything you could possibly want to know about, there's a video for. If you want to know how to do something, YouTube it. You know, you want to learn about something, YouTube it, TikTok it, Instagram, whatever. You know, thing is right at your fingertips. And people just don't take the time. Our attention spans are just gone. And we want something fat. That's just like binging. People don't want to wait on a weekly show if they're watching something. No, they're going to sit and binge 5 episodes, you know, or binge the whole show. I know people that do that. That'll binge the entire season in one day. And it's like, wow, you know. But, it's just we live in such a fast age where everything is just, you know, we're trying to work at so many things, and it's like too many tabs are open and we're just living too fast. We don't take time mm-hmm. to sit back and just be. You know, there's an Italian word for that, and I can't think of it. Eat, pray, love. It was in the book. It was in the movie, too. I forget what they call that. But it's just the state of just sitting, doing nothing. It's the enjoyment of doing nothing, just sitting and eating or listening to the birds or, you know, not thinking about, you know, I need to do this and this and this and this. I could be doing this and this, you know, or watching the videos. It's just enjoy the present. And that's a great concept that we just don't have here. Ours is trying to push everything we can, stress-wise, into one day, which makes us all tighten rubber bands. And I believe that's what makes the social climate so unstable. And we could see with the shootings and the mass shootings especially, there's been like 23 mass shootings I've seen earlier just this year alone. And, you know, school stuff and just the violence that has erupted and just social unrest altogether. People are just on edge. And I don't know how we're going to fix that. But, yeah, we're going to have to take a moment back to breathe. And I think by doing podcasts like this and talking about it, and especially with creatives, you know, because a lot of them have day jobs, most of them have day jobs or are still trying to, you know, work on their creative endeavors. And what little spare time they have, especially if they have small children and families. And so they need, you know, every little piece of advice that they can absorb. And they're looking for that, you know, anything to make their life more productive and easier. You know, yeah, you want to work less and be more productive.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause your brain does need time to rest. And you need time for you, because if you're not functioning at your full capacity, then, you know, your output is not going to be what it could be. You have more potential than what, you know, you think you do, and you have more potential than what you're putting out by running yourself into the ground. And I've learned
right.
that. I mean, I can literally work 24/7, but my health is not good. I know you guys see me like Imaginarium or you hear me on, but you don't see me after Imaginarium when I'm in bed a week. You don't see, you know, when I have these times when I'm down, I'm just flat bedridden and it sucks. I just, you know, I'm sick, but yeah, it's, we don't know what's going on in everybody's life. That's why you shouldn't mm-hmm. ever judge anybody either. 'Cause you really, you know, people are on edge and you don't know what's going on in their mm-hmm. life. None of us, I think, are on easy street. Even the billionaires, they have stress too. Less of what we have, but I think, but at least they don't have to worry about, you know, paying their bills and all that stuff. But they still, you know, a lot of them still work very hard and have been self-made, and kudos to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Paris Hiltons of the world have been handed a silver spoon, but, you know, a lot of people actually have to work for it.
Well, yeah, there are others that have, that, you know, I celebrate, though, because they have made it on their own visions and endeavors and merits. And so, yeah, there's another group that, yeah, definitely we can't malign. But, yeah, because I love seeing people succeed.
And a lot of them are willing to share, you know. They're willing to mm-hmm. share their knowledge.
Yeah, and that, yeah, that definitely. So, yeah, when you are expanding into something like TikTok or something like that, yeah, feel – you know, ask questions of, you know, if you develop a relationship with somebody that's got a larger channel and, or if you are, you know, doing something on, you know, you're a YouTuber or you are an Instagrammer that's, you know, making some progress. Yeah. Reach out and a lot of people, will give you tips and advice and so if you're expanding your platforms, don't hesitate to, reach the people that do it well and ask them, because the worst they can do is say no or, you know, not help you. I mean, that's so no harm, no foul, you know. And most times, yeah, people are willing to give a little bit of response. So that's a good thing for sure. But we do, but looking at Tonight though, one great thing to talk about with expanding platforms and opening up new horizons and looking at the exact format and its audience and how to reach it.
Try it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and try it. Different, they're not just the main street. There's Gab. There's, there's so many other platforms that people are getting into now. If you're scared of the TikTok and all that, I think, am I on? I'm not on Gab. I'm on another one.
No,
Mine.
You're on Mine.
Mine. I might go back and look at that. But yeah.
Yeah, but
I know
platforms
I'm
like Gab and Minds and others, I mean, they have multiple things. I mean, they have video, they have, groups and forums. They have, they resemble, elements of Facebook and Twitter in the way they operate. You know, they have multiple kind of sectors within them. Like some of these other new tech platforms do have multiple facets within them. So when you get into them, I mean, it's not just learning about how to, work and interact with one element, but actually, discovering that, you can actually do multiple things. It's almost like you've got within one platform, you've got a YouTube, a Facebook, and the Twitter kind of all kind of available together under that single platform. So there's definitely some places that you can, reach different audiences and promote and have different creatives that are on them. And LinkedIn is another one for networking. A lot of them out there. So now, YouTube isn't the only video. YouTube is not the only video player. I mean, Rumble has gotten extremely big. Like Russell Brand, the celebrity Russell Brand, who has millions of followers on YouTube, has focused very heavily on Rumble, and he has exclusive content on Rumble. So I mean, so there are other platforms that are rivaling the big ones now. You gotta understand what's going on out there and look at the different options for sure.
Yeah, and Clay was talking about the beauty of things today, and yet the short videos are the way to go, people, because of the no attention spans. But yeah, I just wanted to say real quick, it's scary, people. You don't realize that these people you see on TikTok and all that, don't think that they really look like that, okay? They don't.
No.
Because
it's odd.
I was showing Steve the filters, even when I go live, the filters to go live, because I made some and took them down. I just wanted to test it and see, but I still got to play around with stuff. You can change your face shape. You can change your makeup. It's flawless. It looks real. And I know there's different ones where you can actually download stuff to your phone and the videos or whatever, and then you upload them to TikTok and stuff and other places that will actually thin your body, smooth out pores, smooth out any dimples you might have, take away moles, take away, beauty marks, take away all this. It's crazy how you can modify, your body and image to where yet you look nothing like you do in person. Mm-hmm. But these younger girls, that's what's bad though. These Gen Z and on down, the alpha generations are looking at these thinking, well, that's how I need to look to look beautiful. Well, people don't look like that in real life unless they've got a lot of money to put into plastic surgery. It's just not real. You're not going to look perfect without plastic surgery. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. There's
beautiful
people, don't get me wrong, but they're not perfect.
Yeah. And even then, I mean, eventually it'll end up being a disaster, as we've seen with, like, Madonna. if you got the plastic surgery, eventually time does kind of catch up on that. So that's not necessarily a good course to do. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a good.
Oh man, that's too funny. But we have another topic tonight. I want to make sure we get to this.
Yes, we do have another topic.
Because it's something that's really irked me to no end, and that is we're not going to get into, like I said, you know, some of the political side of it too much. We're going to get into the just the integrity side of it mostly. But it's this recent decision by the publisher of Roald Dahl's books. You know, you know Charlie and Chocolate Factory,
Charlie
all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Popular books for young readers. And the publisher decided, you know, just to go back and rewrite things and have, a group go through and pick things that they thought that, you know, they felt were politically incorrect. And, and that like Augustus Gloop, of course being, called fat or something instances like that, and where they thought the word fat was not right for today and, things like that. And, they went through and rewrote sections and added phrases and sections to the books. And of course, Roald Dahl has, it's been many years since he passed. So this is posthumous. This is without his permission. And they have actually gone back and rewritten and parts of his work. I just think it's just beyond repulsive and repugnant, that they would, even think that they should do that. If you don't like something, don't read it, don't buy it. If you're a publisher that no longer supports something, then stop printing it, but this gets into some dangerous turf. The idea that that somebody else can just take something and rewrite a book, put in their words into an author's work. And I think this is an outgrowth of something that I've been concerned about for a long time. And that's this, this mentality that leads to, series is like Rings of Power, where some showrunner gets an IP that's popular and then they make their own thing. It's their story. It's not honoring the creator. It's not even sourced from the creator, but they put in their own thing, and it's just cloaked in the trappings of a popular IP or popular franchise. And I've seen it done time and time and time again in the last few years, where they're not faithful to the original creator, and that's in TV and film primarily. But now it's actually gone over into the book world with this Roald Dahl issue, and where they've actually changed his words in a book. And so this, I think it's a progression. I think it's a progression. And regardless of what you think about whether something is politically correct or not, you should not be tampering with artistic integrity or the creator's works like this.
If you don't approve
wrong.
Don't read the damn book. It's as easy as that. You can go back, 100 years ago, there's going to be a lot of books that are not politically correct.
Well,
now,
of course,
forward, 100 years from now, the books that we're writing today that are politically correct are not going to be in 100 years from now. People are going to look back and they're going to say, my God, them people were pigs. They were bigots. They were, because it's going to be different. Social climate changes. Things change. Yes, you should not be. Obviously, you should not be a racist. Obviously, you should not be, homophobic.
Well,
that's okay. I shouldn't even have to say it. It's obvious, right? But, we shouldn't judge each other, period. But I'm saying by using certain words or clicking off boxes just to fit in, you should not have to do that. As a writer, you write what you want to write and what you love, right? You don't write to appease an audience of people and change your word, your writing, just so it appeases the masses. Because you're not writing for the masses. You're writing for people that are in line with your views or, the way you think or whatever. You're writing for, what you love. And that's what you do. If you start writing to try to appease everybody, that's not your writing anymore. That you might as well shoot it out the door and let the AI do it for you. I mean, because really, you are it's like you're putting tape over the mouth of the author. You're taping up their fingers, honest to God. And the book burning and all that that's went over, we see how that goes. That don't work. And it just drives people to want to read the books more. So, I mean, what's this going to do? You can't take somebody's work and completely change it. Can you have fan fiction? Sure. Can you write something on an adaptation? Sure. But you cannot take the book publisher themselves are going to take Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the book publisher, and rewrite the damn book. It's actually a rape. It's like raping the author. It's an infringement of rights. It's just disgusting. And I don't care what their thoughts are or their political stands are, or I don't care. That doesn't even matter. Or what their sexual preferences or their religion. I don't give two shits. That is an infringement on the rights of the writer. We're supposed to have the right to free speech, right? Well, that's not a right to free speech. I'm sorry. You're literally binding the hands of authors, and it's not right. And if you think it's going to stop at books, you better open your eyes, people, because it's not going to it's not going to stop there. When are they going to want to repaint the Mona Lisa? Because maybe it's fat shaming. She's too skinny or whatever, or too much of this, or her hair should be blonde, or I don't know. I'm just saying it's going to filter over into music, art, everything.
Well, there's incidents where they have gone back and started to re-edit older movies and things. It's not prevalent yet, but there are some incidents where they have gone back and done some re-editing of older films just to sanitize them some more. So, yeah, I mean, this kind of thing can get real out of hand really quickly, but it's a definite violation of artistic integrity. And creative freedom, because I mean, if you're going to do a historical film, or you're going to, if you're going to do a historical film or historical fiction and things like that, you're going to reflect different times and mores of a time. Like somebody living in the Roman Empire is going to have a very different worldview and ethos than somebody that was born in 2010 or something like that. You have difference. I mean, that's going to just, affect, everything as far as the presentation and the artistic integrity and just the storytelling and things like that. And where does it stop? And then as things swing back and forth in terms of, there's always a pendulum swing in a culture. And so when the pendulum swings the other way, what do you do? Do they have to go back and rework all of the movies and books and stuff to then conform to that sort of perspective? And then when it swings back, they have to change them all again? I mean, there's an absurdity eventually to this kind of thought where you have to conform something to, whatever they dictate is, what you have to conform it to. And in the end, it's just simple. I mean, if you don't like it, don't buy it, don't read it, don't view it, don't support it. Vote with your dollars. Your dollars are, believe me, you can bring the biggest entertainment company to their knees if everybody stops spending money on their products
and things like that. You have control of that. Mm-hmm. You have control of that. That's like, today, no, we're not going to go out and buy a movie with blackface in it or, something like, we're not going to do that, right? And so it's not going to do anything. It's not going to make money. It's not going to, you don't watch the damn thing. You don't buy it. You don't give it money. Don't give it views. If something like that is on YouTube, don't even view it. If you know what it's about, somebody else has already reviewed it or what, you heard about it, to watch the damn thing. Don't give it a click through. Don't, ignore it, and it'll go away. They're going to have to change if they want to succeed or, do something else. But, and you're not going to agree with everything because people do have political differences or, different thoughts about things. And you're not going to agree with 100% of everybody. you're not going to please everybody. I don't care what you do, you know?
Right.
Just be respectful.
Right.
I'm not saying you go out and write a book that you're a bigot and you're homophobic and all this stuff. No, you please don't do that. But, you know, use your common sense is what I'm saying. But you can't go back on these treasures, these books like Tom Sawyer and all that, and rewrite them. That's insane. I mean, if you don't like it, don't read it. But I think they're
mm-hmm.
they're like a piece of history, you know, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different time. Victorians, you know, that was a whole other era. But, you know, they all wrote differently. If you go back and look, you know, and I think it's interesting. If you go back and read the old works of the old authors,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, you're not going to agree with all their language or, you know, what they're calling a group
their
of
perspectives,
people.
Or their perspectives
their
and perspectives, things like that. Yeah, I mean.
No, but that was a different time. And we
just
know better now. We're smarter, you know.
But at the end of the day, folks,
we will be even smarter in 100 years.
But at the end of the day, folks, realize that if they can do it to Roald Dahl, they can do it to you. So even if you are in sync with the times, even if what you do is embraced by the popular culture now, the work that you're putting out, well, maybe in 100 years, if this, you know, type of thing takes root, what you write could be turned into something that you loathe. And, you know, and it's not done by you. It's done by somebody else writing and reworking your material and making it into something that you then would despise. So remember, it can happen. You know, if they can do it to Roald Dahl, they can do it to you. And no matter, you know, where you're at right now. So it's to me, I mean, it's something that I think should, in my view, should unite all types of creatives, no matter what your, you know, background is, no matter what your political perspective and orientation might be as far as politics
mm-hmm.
goes. And, you know, this should unite everybody. I mean, everybody as a whole should be, like, absolutely set against this type of tampering with artistic work. And they should also push beyond this to you know, apply to the world of TV and film and other things too. You know, I think that, you know, I think that's getting kind of crazy and egregious with the hijacking of IPs by, you know, showrunners that want to tell their own thing that has nothing to do with the original IP. And it's, you know, it's getting ridiculous. And so I think that, I think that that should be addressed very loudly by the creative community and should not be a thing. Yeah. Cause This is dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, if you have any respect for artistic integrity and if you have any respect for diversity of thought, free expression, any of those things. I mean, this is egregious. You know, this is the hill, as they say,
well,
this is the hill to die on.
and that's the truth, because it can go the other way, people. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It can go the other way.
That's what I'm saying. Swing the other way.
Yeah, I mean, completely, like you said, it could swing the other way, and you get these really terrible, horrible people in charge and be like, oh, no, we're right in that because you should be an asshole and you should think this way. And, you know, just horrible. And then the people that are trying to speak up for what's right, which a lot are today, but the people trying to speak up for what's right are, you know, have their mouth taped. Or, you know, their hands bound and
mm-hmm.
and discriminated against. I mean, it's horrible. It's disgusting. It's just disgusting.
Yeah, it can swing. That's what I said about pendulums. I mean, pendulum swings one way. That group has to change everything. The pendulum swings the other way. That group has to change everything. I mean, and it's like it would just be an absurdity. I mean, and it's end result. And but, I mean, it does. It fits the George Orwell warning in 1984, where they say all the books were rewritten. That was a very prescient line in 1984.
Yep.
You know, it mentions all
the
books being rewritten, not being burned, being rewritten.
Uh-huh.
That's the difference.
Yeah, he called for that.
Don't listen to some
George Orwell clips, the audio clips. it's freaking scary. I mean, he was right on a lot of things.
Yeah, he called it.
And it's like,
yeah, it's not throwing books away, not burning books. He said in like 1984, all the books were rewritten. They changed the language. They changed the language. And that's the big warning. And that's something that every creative should be opposed to, no matter what your political leaning is or what your, you know, faith might be, or if you are persons without faith, whatever the case may be. That doesn't matter where you're coming from. I mean, everybody should be opposed to this Roald Dahl thing. It's bad.
Right.
It is bad. Yeah. Yeah, so we wanted to say our piece on that, because this is definitely the hill to die on for creatives, as I said. This is one to take a strong stand on. And thankfully, when I went on Twitter and saw comments, I saw writers from all types
of
perspectives. They were writers that were from all types of perspectives. They were conservatives. They were liberals. They were centrists. They were people from all sorts of backgrounds who all saw the danger in this. And that was encouraging. Yeah, a little to some degree, to see that some people, you know, did see the greater threat. You know, and that's what I was kind of encouraged by a little bit. But we need to see that voice get loud and strong on this one. So. Yeah, this is egregious. I think that most of our listeners would agree with us on this part of it. But this Roald Dahl thing just floored me. I thought, wow. I mean, I'm like, yeah, I've been bothered by a lot of the things with what, you know, they've been doing in TV and film, and what I call the hijacking of IPs. That's really bothered me, but I thought, yeah, surely the books. Oh, they're not going to take it because the book is what it is. It's they're not going to remake a book, are they? Well, by God, hold my, you know, 2023 said, hold my beer, and they are remaking books now. man, what a time to be alive! I swear,
it's free speech, and once you start restricting free speech. That's when you get into some scary shit, because then you lose your voice. You lose your voice, and only those who are in charge, only their say goes, you know?
Yep, and
their
approved words,
slope. Guys, you're living in China at that point, you know? You might as well learn Chinese.
Even worse than I mean, I think he's something even beyond, you know, the worst, some of the worst authoritarian climates. This even goes to a new level. I mean, controlling the words you're even approved to use, and I mean that's just hitting like a new stride in that progression. But I hate to sound somber, but yes, that these are topics that we definitely want to prove. Yeah, we got about a minute and a half, Holly. Yeah. So yeah, we got to wrap this one up here.
Okay,
so
it's hard because we could go on and on and on about this, but yeah.
Oh, I know.
Free speech, guys.
Yeah, we will do other episodes on serious topics from time to time. I think it's good and needed. I think we need to comment on some of these things because many of you have probably not heard about the Roald Dahl incident and, you know, what happened to his books from the publisher that has the rights to them. And I think people need to know what's going on out there. But thank you very much for joining us tonight on this specific episode of the Star Chamber Show. And we'll be coming at you live next week on Wednesday. Next, we'll get back to our Wednesdays next week, folks. And we got Holly back. So I'll let Holly close it out and give her final words.
All right. Well, guys, I'm glad to be back. And we will join you next week with a great guest. Another great topic, and this will be one I'm sure keep your eye on. If you don't know about it, look it up, because this affects all creatives and actually society as a whole. It's a scary thought, but join us next Wednesday, 9:00. We'll be back at our regular scheduled programming time, live, and hopefully I'll be able to go live on TikTok at the same time next week. So it's going to be a neat little experiment. But be creative and write what you love. And we'll see you next week.